From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1992 at the Puerto Rican Festival in Rochester. A woman named Zuri Brown set up a stand to serve food, and it didn't take long to become a massive hit. For 10 years at the festival, Brown earned a devoted following, who often wondered, why didn't Zuri have her own restaurant? And so finally, she decided it was time. After initially choosing a location, Brown decided she wanted a new space on North Clinton Avenue and broke ground in April of 2013. And that July, she opened the location that is there now of El Pilon Criollo. Have you been there? There are often long lines. When the food is gone, El Pilon is closed for the day. Got to get in while you can get the food. It's a beautiful space that has sparked inspiration along La Avenida. And Brown was chosen as 2015's Rochester Hispanic Business Person of the Year. Well, this is the Summer of Food on Connections, and our final Summer of Food conversation is about the food at El Pilon, but also about the determination and hard work that have gone into creating this successful restaurant and takeout business. So let me say hello to our guests, and congratulations on all the success that Zuri has had. Zuri Brown, owner of El Pilon, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
And also here is Alejandra Brown, Zuri's daughter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. We're going to have a great hour with your mother. Who's less nervous? You're less nervous? Who's more nervous?
Probably
Zuri just put her hand up. Nothing to worry about. But also here to help guide the ship is my longtime partner in crime over at Channel 13. It's great to see Norma Holland back here.
Good to see you, my friend. I've missed you.
And I know you are a connoisseur of cuisine, not only like this, but your own mother is cooking right now?
Yes, I called my mother to tell her that I was going to be on the radio today. I said, Mom, I'm going to be on. She said, well, I'm making sofrito right now, so I hope I'm done in time to listen to your show. And sofrito we'll talk about, of course, later on, but it's a great seasoning base that Puerto Ricans love to make it. You make it at home. You can buy it in the jar, but who buys that in the jar? You make it at home. It smells so good, you know? And so we'll talk about that. And just, you know, I love food, Evan, if you didn't already know.
Are you going to give me a little bit of a Lucy Holland impersonation before the hour is over?
Sure. I'll do it right now.
What did she say to
you? Well, when I said, I'm going to be on Evan's show, she goes, Bob Evans? You mean the sausage man? I said, Mom, no, Evan Dawson, not Bob. Okay. She always calls you the sausage man. She says, Evan Dawson is Bob Evans.
Oh, there's many people on this program who still don't know my name. I've had guests this week, but it's okay, Lucy. We love you.
Yeah.
I want to kind of go back to 1992 or even further back. Zuri, you came to Rochester in 1987. Is that right?
Yes.
Our producer, Megan Mack, and I have been reading about your story, and in fact, a wonderful profile under the title, We Need More Zuris in Our City. This one, you just flinched a little. You should be so proud of that piece. It was in El Mensajero, Rochester, in 2015. This beautiful story. Wasn't it, by the way, Alejandra? Wasn't that a great story?
Yeah, I love reading about her because she's such a big inspiration to me. Mm-hmm. I love it that other people also see it.
Well, Zuri sort of hates it, but we're going to do this anyway. So our thanks to El Mensajero for a wonderful profile as just one of the sources that helped us. By the way, Megan Mack and Rob Braden, our engineer, went to El Pilon yesterday, and we're going to get a chance to talk to them about what they experienced. But let's back it up first. You came to Rochester in 1987 from where, Zuri?
Puerto Rico.
From Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And what do you remember growing up in Puerto Rico about food in at home?
I remember that I just brought everybody together.
So. Who did the cooking?
Mostly my mother and my grandmother.
And what did they cook?
Rice and the beans and the pork and the chicken and everything else was taken from the land too. You know, like my mother had the plants of green bananas and green plantains, and we had the chickens. So I remember running around trying to find out where they were nesting so we can go and grab the eggs. So there was a lot of that.
When you were growing up, when's the first time you remember getting a hand at cooking?
I always had an interest, and I always helped out in the kitchen. I think I developed a love for it later on in life. Yeah.
Is that part of the culture, getting the kids involved? Does that usually happen?
Yes, yes.
When you were growing up, Norma, what was your own sort of food memory of what the sights and smells and that experience.
I echo what Zuri said, that food brought people together. Food was why people would come to my grandmother's house and then later my mother's house and, you know, on Sundays to eat big, you know, bowls of rice and beans and, you know, roast pork and bananas. And but those smells and sounds, I mean, just, you know, the sound of the tostones hitting the fryer and just sizzling up nice. And, you know, that kind of, you know, the smell of the pernil cooking, the roast pork. I mean, it's like that's stuck in my brain. That will always stay there. But food was love, was how you showed people that you love them. Right. If you mm-hmm. love someone, you would cook for them mm-hmm. and you would feed them. And you were so concerned. Did they eat enough? You know, right? My grandmother would always say, Mija, comite. Tu comite. Did you eat? Are you OK? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. In fact, I'm not starving anytime soon.
So it's this communal thing. It's this family experience. But Zuri, for you, when you moved to Rochester, what brought you to Rochester?
I was searching for a better life, mm-hmm. you know, more opportunities, and for me and my daughter, and I have family here already, so it was hard, you know, it was hard making that decision. But once I was here, things worked out the way they needed to.
We never ask anyone their age on this program, but Alejandra, 1987, 30 years ago, they moved to Rochester, so.
I moved here with my older
your
daughter.
Your older daughter, right?
Yeah. Zuma.
Yeah. And so, Alejandra, for you, when you were growing up in your family, what were the sights and smells and what was cooking for you growing up?
Well, my mom has always been an amazing cook. I live for her rice. So when I was younger and we went to school together, I went to work with her and I would go to the program. She would often make rice for any party, and I would eat it for breakfast. I would eat it the night before when she made it, and then I would eat it again at lunchtime. So I always loved cooking with her as well, because I, you know, I work at the restaurant now, so I love being there. It's a great environment. Growing up, every time family was over, my mom's always in the kitchen, always cooking something really good, so having family over was always good news for me.
And it sounds, listening to all of you describe what cooking was like, especially growing up, that maybe in Puerto Rican culture, cooking is much about the aromatics, the smells that will fill the kitchen in a household. You just, yes?
Okay, I'm going to make a, this is, if my sister's listening, you know that when you cook with, you know, onion and garlic and peppers and all of that, that smell is in the house and it's always in the house. And it's always on you. And I remember I would leave the house, and once when my mother was cooking, and my sister and I would joke, we'd call it the curse of the Puerto Rican, because we always smelled like food. And our friends would always say, where have you been? It smells so good. I'm like, my mother's kitchen. You know, and you could never get rid of that smell. It was just like all over you. But it was, and you know, if I smell it now, I know that whoever has that smell in them has been somewhere good.
The same thing happens to us at the restaurant. Like, if we go somewhere, it's great promotion, actually.
It really is.
Because whenever we go somewhere, like after we've been at work all day, the people are like, what is that smell? And we're like, yep, that's at the restaurant. You need to head there.
Hand
for sure.
Your card.
What a wonderful compliment of El Pilon. But so Zuri had been in Rochester 5 years, and in 1992 decided, you're going to go to the Puerto Rican Festival. You're going to do kind of a food stand. What did you offer? What were you offering in that first year in 1992?
Well, first, it all started at home. You know, I wanted to earn that extra money for vacations and do extra things and more activity for the girls and stuff like that. And so I started making custards at home. And it was just... I got more offers than I anticipated. So I remember just a whole day there of baking them. So the last batch just burned because I fell asleep in the couch. So I said, I can't keep doing this. So then I started doing lunches at work once a month. And that went well. But it's just a small kitchen. It was just not really like... working out like I wanted to. And then just talking to friends, they say, well, why don't you try the Puerto Rican Festival? And that's how the whole idea began. So.
And you did that for about 10 years?
I did it for about 10 years, yeah.
And so eventually people start wondering, where's the restaurant? Where's the restaurant? So how did that all come together?
Well, people will come and look for us like every year, and they will just stand there and say, so where's your place? You know, we want to come and, you know, get more of your food. And I said, no, we just do this in the summer. And that's how we started thinking about the idea of opening a place. And I used to go out to lunch because I used to work for the city school district. So I used to go to Clinton Avenue. There was a place there that we used to go to lunch. And one day we went to lunch, and there was a sign that says that they were selling the place. So I talked to the owner, and we came to an agreement, and that's how the whole thing started. So we rented there for about 5 years. And after that, I worked directly with the city, too. They helped me a lot.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. profile they wrote about you in El Mensajero, they said, you know, you were kind of told, I don't know about, you know, creating the location where you wanted to do it, but you told them, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so where is El Pilon?
El Pilon now is located at 973 North Clinton Avenue.
What was your vision for it, and how close to that vision is the final result?
It's overpass.
Because
I used to drive by the location and just imagine it, but it looked so far away, you know. It looked like an impossible. So I'm glad that I was able to pursue it, and then that I had people along the way that helped me get there.
So you opened at that location four summers ago now, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's very well.
Is it going? Some days is it going too well? Do you feel?
It's never. I will never get to that point.
Alejandra, what's an average day at El Pilon like? Take me through it.
Well, I cook in the back, so I usually go in pretty early, which I love because it gives you kind of like a great start on the day. We start cooking everything, and then usually right about 10, we have people knocking down the door. So they start coming in around then. And then pretty much around lunchtime is when things get a little fuzzy. But we love it. We love the rush.
Wait, what does fuzzy mean?
It means like
stressed?
A little hectic.
A little stressful?
Sometimes it is. You know, when you have a lot of things you have to keep track of. And
can I ask a question? What are your top sellers? Like what do people come in going, I have to have it now?
Roasted pork.
Mm-hmm. The pernil.
Pernil, yeah, mm-hmm. Roast pork. Yeah.
I think a lot of people on Saturdays when we have our mofongo, they sell like crazy. And people definitely wait till Saturday to get it.
Okay, if you haven't had mofongo, if you haven't had it.
Mofongo is green plantains. They're fried, and then they're mashed together with a combination of ingredients in our pilon. Mm-hmm. And it's served up in kind of like a bowl-ish shape, and then that goes really well with our seafood salad or our fried pork that we have. And we give our mayo quechua with it, and that is just killer. Oh. It's killer, I tell you.
I can't even handle it.
Okay, so you want to back up. She says it's mashed up in their pilon. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, so the name of the restaurant is El Pilon Criollo, and let's talk about what the name means because you just mentioned that. Go ahead, Alejandra.
So pilon is something that is, it's a wooden shape, it's kind of hollow on the inside, and it's kind of like a masher.
So like a mortar and pestle.
Correct, mm-hmm. Yep, and we use that, and the name kind of came from that because it is a staple in the, you know, Hispanic cooking, and criollo means home cooked, you know, so it's kind of like, it's really a good name for the kind of food that we're selling.
Well, let me bring in the people who were there yesterday. Rob Braden, the engineer, Megan Mack, the producer. They had lunch there. I was not able to go, but they did bring me food that I had for lunch today from El Pilon. So, Alejandra, you were just saying you used the pilon to mash up the plantain for some of the dishes, but I had just a fried plantain, right, Rob?
Yeah.
So what you brought me was a fried plantain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it sweet?
So those are
mildly sweet. It was.
Yeah, it's like a little sweet. Not as sweet as a sweet plantain.
Maduro.
Yep. Which are my favorites, by the way.
Me too.
So what you had is basically it's a green banana. You just cut it and then you fry it and then you take it out of the fryer. You smash it,
mm-hmm.
kind of like downwards, and then you throw it back in the fryer, and it's done.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And Rob, I'm going to ask you what else you brought me, and then I want to ask you and Megan to characterize your lunch yesterday. But what else did you bring me there?
Well, I brought you, Evan, some of the roasted pork, rice and beans, and the yuca, which Rob and I really enjoyed. We tried that right when we got there.
We'll talk about that in a second. I mean, yeah, that roasted pork. I get why there's a line.
Oh yeah.
I see why there is a line. It's claro que sí. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Roasted pork is that's a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to prepare the pork. You just don't like take the pork and season it on the surface. Oh no. I recall my aunt as a kid vividly just see her doing this. She would take a knife and she would stab at the pork to create holes basically in the pork, and then she would stuff it with olive oil and olives and all kinds of seasonings and adobo and all kinds of, and you would literally just infuse this meat with all the seasoning, and then she would massage it, you know, and then she would, you know, cover it with olive oil and throw it in the oven.
Oh. It's an art. It's an art for sure.
And it comes apart in these almost thread by thread of just melt in your mouth. It's fantastic. Wonderful. Now you mentioned, Rob and Megan mentioned the yuca, right?
Yeah, the yuca, first of all, the whole experience was awesome. The yuca is the way they explained it to me, is like a potato, and I noticed it's like a more fibrous potato, but it had this savory flavor, and I don't know if that's the natural flavor of it or if it's what you cook it in.
It depends on how you prepare it. It's a really easy... it's a really easy product to manipulate to the kind of flavor that you want to give it. It takes on the flavor of whatever you really want to put it in.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother used to, root vegetables, I mean, really are very popular in Latin culture. So like potatoes and yuca and all those things, and yautía and inyama, and all these root vegetables are what we would eat them as with a piece of meat was what we would eat sometimes. But they're good for you because they're fibrous, but yuca is so good. Yeah.
It was really savory and it melted in your mouth the way they cook it. And it's weird because it was definitely really fibrous, but it melted in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. That was that your first yuca?
It was my very first yuca. Yeah.
Megan Mack, your first yuca?
Yep. And I had to ask how to spell it too. So thank you.
Rob, you said the whole experience was great. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm a vegetarian. And so when I walked in, it was a buffet, and about 80% of the buffet was various kinds of meat. And to be honest, I was like, uh-oh. But not only was she really inviting, I felt like I was almost in her house in this takeout restaurant, and it looked like home-cooked food. But she's like, oh, vegetarian, no problem, beans and rice. And then she offered, I'm not a vegan, so she offered to cook eggs for me and things like that. So it was very home feel. But the beans and rice alone were probably the best beans and rice I've ever had. And I grew up in San Diego, where their beans and rice were plentiful. And really, I'm a fan of this place just based on the beans and rice. Then they kept just bringing out piles of food, like the fried plantains, the empanadas, just a ton of food, and they kept letting me experiment with different drinks I've never had.
We had a good time experimenting with drinks. I think you should talk about that, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, go ahead.
Well, the drinks, I've never had the Goya drink Malta. And I can only equate it to, when I used to live in LA, I was friends and went to school with a lot of foreigners from Japan and Scandinavia and Europe. And some of those people had never had Coca-Cola until they came to America. And the first time they drank it, they were like, oh, this tastes like medicine. That was my experience.
That's how I felt when I tasted Vegemite from Australia. Yeah. Medicine. Why are you putting medicine on your sandwiches? So that was your experience with the Malta?
I got to be honest, it wasn't good to me. But the way they described it, it's like a childhood drink that everyone grows up with. But then I tried the Tropicola.
Tropicola. Oh.
And it's funny because it says the champagne of cola.
It's so good.
But when you drink it, it tastes like Bazooka Joe bubblegum.
It does. It's got a bubblegum flavor.
With like the bubbles, right? So it's the two combinations. And it's so even good. Though it's really sweet, It is like a really awesome thing. Yeah. And it goes good with the savory food.
Mm-hmm. I'm having all these flashbacks as a kid because maltas are, they're bottled in these little brown bottles, okay? Yeah. My mother would buy them by like the 16 pack or whatever they had. And they would, you know, the Goya, they come from Goya or whatever, the, what other brand. And you'd put them in the refrigerator and, you know, on a hot day, you'd pull one of those out. And you'd have that. And it's now if I were to drink one today, I'd be like, whoa, totally too sweet.
Yeah.
But back then, boy, that was like, you had that. You were like golden. I brought one to school one time. Someone thought I was drinking beer. I was like, no, it's not beer. It's
I actually saw the picture. I'm like, hey, you're on the clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the memories.
So Megan Mack, it's an acquired taste. Have you acquired the taste yet?
Maybe I'll get there someday.
Yeah. I'll bring over a 12-pack. We'll polish it off.
And now, aside from the Malta, Megan Mack, how about the rest of the meal?
It was fantastic. I, as Rob said, I felt like we were in your kitchen. It was an amazing experience in that we felt so welcome. And even the customers, everyone was so pleasant, so welcome. I feel like you had a lot of regulars there. Mm-hmm. Because everyone seemed to know each other. It was like Cheers, except El Pilon.
Well, yesterday when I learned that you didn't eat any meat, I'm like, my mind is racing. It's like, what can I offer? Because it brought me back when I was little and you went somewhere and you didn't like anything. The host would do anything to please you. Like, so I'm thinking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And then I offer, oh, you can have eggs. And I ask the guy in the back, can you fry me 2 eggs? Because usually we use the eggs for sandwiches. Mm-hmm. So it just brought me back to that. Because if somebody comes to your home and you have nothing to offer, or you don't have anything that that person will eat, it would just be a killer. And I remember one time going over a friend's house, and there was nothing like ready to cook, and he took a frozen chicken out of the freezer. I'm telling you, it was like a rock. And he threw it in water and just say, wait, we're going to have soup in an hour. So that's the way I remember, and that's the way we were brought up.
She brings us such a good point, see, because in Latino culture, it is, it's not polite to not feed your guests. My mother would on Sunday morning, early before we were even awake, she would start cooking. I never understood that. I said, why do you have to have food done by 10 a.m.? Because you never know who was pulling in that driveway.
And you want to have something for them when they show up.
And if they pulled in after church and you didn't have anything for them to eat, oh no. It was considered the height of not being polite. The thing is, and Zuri makes a great point, food is love. Food is how you show your love. You know, and you can taste the love in the food because it's not just, you don't just throw it together. You just don't say, oh, yeah, a little of this, a little. No, it's there's an art to it, and there's love in that food, and you can taste it. You know what I mean? You can just taste it. You know when someone's put effort in their food and when they haven't.
Zuri, how does it make you feel when you hear both Rob and Megan say that our first time there, we felt like it was a home-cooked meal, and we could not have been more welcome? Is that exactly what you're going for?
I think it makes me, it lets me know that I achieve, you know, and that's what I want my customers to feel, to go away with that experience.
Well,
and we hear that a lot.
I definitely think we have achieved that because we see a lot of the same people, like you said, every day. And every time they come in, they get, you know, a warm greeting from everyone. We've actually even come to know some of them on a personal level, so they love coming in, and it's a lot more fun for us too because you get to know your clientele, and it really makes all of it so much better.
See, I see a future of Rob Braden, our engineer. You know, as Megan Mack said, it's like Cheers, except for it's El Pilon. Rob's going to be like Norman. He's going to walk in, and everyone's going to say, Rob! And they're going to have for him a Tropicola. Yeah. Maybe eventually a, what was it? The other drink?
Malta Goya. Malta.
Maybe eventually the Malta Goya.
Maybe it'll grow on you.
I do think it's acquired taste. I think it's acquired taste.
I personally can understand because I don't really love them. I mean, if it was the only thing to drink, I'll drink it, but I'm not like, oh, I need one.
It was a weird drink because it tasted like it had honey in it along with malt from beer. And there's no honey. We read the ingredients. There's no honey. There's 3 different kinds of malts.
Hops
and corn syrup.
And it's not alcoholic.
It's not alcoholic, yeah.
Well, and before we get our only break of the hour and we let Rob and Megan kind of go back to they're not having to be on microphones, though I'm enjoying this very much. We should do this every day, guys. I do want to ask them about just the space itself, because in that piece in El Mensajero, the writer talked to some city officials who talked about just how not only did El Pilon bring this wonderful food establishment to a neighborhood, but, let me just read from the piece. Brown has not only found success for herself, she has helped improve the neighborhood and shown what is possible. Some people thought she was crazy when she built a restaurant with tall glass windows and a fancy kitchen. Well, now, people aspire their businesses to be like hers. They say, I want to be like El Pilon. I want to have a nice building. Megan, what was it like in the building? Can I just describe for people who haven't been there?
It's a beautiful building with very large glass windows. So when you're sitting and you're eating your meal, you're looking outside and you feel like you're part of the neighborhood. And I can't think of a better way to connect, for a business to connect itself to a neighborhood, by having such an open space. So we sat right by the window. We saw people walking by. It was a great experience. And then on the side of the building, there's this beautiful mural. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. I should have taken a picture of the mural. But you can find one on their website. And it's just so well connected to the neighborhood. And I can see why people feel comfortable just walking in like they're walking into a friend's home.
Even a portrait of a grandmother on the wall?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We were eating our meal right near that portrait and that story's grandmother. And she was telling us how her grandmother used to teach her how to cook, and now she used a mortar and pestle even to grind coffee. Mm-hmm. So we had this very personal experience that we're very grateful for.
Rob?
Yeah, the coffee story was, because I'm a big make-your-own coffee fan, and I'm a coffee snob and all that good stuff. And and just to hear that that's how she made her coffee, and you can just see her doing it the way she described it, and then pouring the coffee over and everything, that had to be one of the best coffee experiences ever. And like Megan said, not only was she and her staff very inviting and warm, and it felt like we were in their house, but the whole neighborhood, it was just, you know, many different cultures, many different people, and the regulars there knew that it was our first time, and they were like, you know, happy that we were there, and like, this is going to be the best experience you've ever had, and only positive things. And there was always a line moving, and the whole
there was never a dull moment. That's so true.
And it was, everything was positive, and everyone seemed really happy. And I'm definitely going back. Yeah.
Well, El Pilon Criollo, it says this is the final episode in our Summer of Food series. Every Thursday at 1 p.m. all summer long, and we're having a great time as we wrap up the Summer of Food. Let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and talk some more with how this came together. We're going to ask Zuri and Alejandra and Norma Holland where else you like to go out to eat, especially if you're looking for food in this sort of flavor and culture. We'll talk about cooking at home, and also how do you see the future of La Avenida and what you'd like to see, you know, the growth you've seen in several years since El Pilon opened, but also what you see happening there. If you don't know where it is on North Clinton and easy to find online, 973 North Clinton Avenue, El Pilon. Will continue the discussion after our only break of the hour here on Connections. And let me tell you what's coming up Friday on the next Connections. A local company announced to its employees on Wednesday they would be bumping minimum wage up to $15 an hour. It's a choice that not all local businesses have decided to make for a number of reasons, and we're going to have a conversation. We're also going to hear from a reporter for the NPR station out in Seattle about the raise to minimum wage at $15 there. What's the impact? So that's our first hour. Our second hour, Memorial AME Zion Church celebrating 190 years of civil rights advocacy, the oldest African-American church in Rochester. We'll talk to them. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. When El Pilon opened in 2013, in the summer of 2013, it had been the first new construction on North Clinton Avenue in more than 12 years, according to the city of Rochester, and the first building constructed from the ground up by a Latina on that street. Zuri, you're aware of that? Does that mean anything more special to you?
It is a special, but, you know, it's like I guess I did what I needed to do, so... I mean,
you're too humble, Alejandra. What's it mean to you?
Yeah, I just can't. It means so much to me, and I sometimes I'm like, come on, you gotta see it. Like, you know, I know how hard my mom worked for this, and I know how the odds were, you know, stacked. But I can, I, I can't be more proud of her, and I can't be more happy to be working at this establishment that my mom brought up, you know. And it really was hard, you know, along the way, but she really did it. So,
what are the hours, Alejandra, that El Pilon has opened?
So we usually open around 10, and we're open until 6.
And on weekends?
Weekends is the same, and our we're open from Tuesday to Saturday.
All right, so you carve out a little bit of time for yourself to rest here, Zuri. Mm-hmm. But you know, as the 2015 Rochester Hispanic Business Person of the Year, did you ever think that that was a title that you would have?
No. No.
When we told her that she was up for it, she was like, "What? What's going? No!" Like, she's not a fan of speaking about herself.
Or... Alejandra, we had to call so many times to try to ask you guys to come, and we knew that the Summer of Food was winding to a close. But we also heard from so many listeners who said, "You've got to get to El Pilon. It's not only great food, but it's a great story, and it's important what's happening on La Avenida, and El Pilon is sort of this beating heart of what's going on there." So, Zuri, I'm glad we dragged you in by the end of this here. It's, and so let me ask you what you want to see happen around you. Why don't you actually, let me first ask you, what have you seen happen in that area since you opened, and do you think we're going to see more things happening in that area, in that space?
I think it just brought people up to, I mean, it inspired them to do something and to do better and to follow their dreams. You know, because a lot of times we have these dreams and they sometimes seem so impossible. So they might be looking and say, well, if she did it, I can do it too. So I have all the people that open restaurants come and say, you know, how you did it or who worked with you. And I have no problem telling them, giving them the names and number of the, especially the people in the city, like Daisy Algarin. She was one that helped me through the whole thing. And, guide me, and so it's great to see the growth, because I know of about maybe 10 to 12 restaurants, and when I opened, it was just, I think it was one more, and that's it. So I love to see the city grow and to see other people search for the dream and follow them.
When somebody asks you, Zuri, how did you do this? Opening a restaurant's hard enough. Keeping it open, succeeding, is very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the things that you tell them?
I remember one friend told me that usually in life, the answers for the things that we want or the dreams that we follow is no. So I guess it's our job to go out there and change that no to a yes. So, because you never know, you know, some people are afraid, oh, they're going to say no, it's going to be impossible. And I heard, you know, a lot of negative, but I also heard a lot of positive. So I said, well, I'm going to give it a try. I'm just going to go for it. And I remember just knowing that this door closed and I just went on and knocked in somebody else's door. So I kept knocking until somebody opened the door. But it took a lot of work, being ready, and knowing what I needed to do. So, and just thinking, I think I can. So,
Alejandra, why do you think she succeeded?
I think seeing my mom in this position, I think it takes a lot of responsibility, a lot of self-control, and really just the person that she is really the reason why she's gotten this far, because, you know, people work hard for her because of the way that she treats others and the respect that she has for others. I think a lot of it has been definitely, it's a lot of responsibility, you know, owning your own restaurant. And you know, you never see her. She's always the first one to get to work, you know. Like, I've worked in a couple other places, and, you know, sometimes the managers or the owners are kind of just, like, letting you just kill yourself out there. But she's in there with us, you know. She's in there with everyone else, getting her hands dirty and working just as hard, harder, you know. So.
And what is that that area for those who not only haven't been to El Pilon, but want a little image of what you're seeing happening up there. How do you see it, Alejandra?
What I see is my mom running around all the time. So I work in the back in the kitchen, and she's primarily up front, but, you know, she'll do whatever. Like, she'll be in the front for 1 minute, then she'll run back to the kitchen, and then she'll run back into the front again.
Yeah.
And so she's wherever she's needed, and
But yeah. I think you're talking about the area.
Sure, and the city has talked Clinton. About, mm-hmm. the mayor has talked about, the city has talked about, city council has talked about La Marqueta as an idea, more development happening there. And so I'll ask you both how you feel about that kind of proposal. What do you think, Alejandra?
I love the public market. I think it's a great place to go to get a bunch of different food. There's a ton of different options there, like... There's Hispanic food.
Yeah, but there's also, they're talking about a Marqueta in Clinton Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which I think it will be great for people that walk, that don't, you know, they don't have a way to get in places because they don't own a car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will bring growth to the area. Services. And I think it's a great idea. I think it will be great.
Do you have a sense for how much of your customer base lives pretty close?
Yeah, I think most of our customer base is on foot. So they are pretty much either they work on the street or they live close by and they walk.
Yeah, that's something that Mayor Warren said when she talked about La Marqueta in this program, this idea for this marketplace on La Avenida, because you have this hunger, this you've got this population that wants to be there, that's already going to places like El Pilon. But Zuri, you don't view that as more competition that would be a problem for you. It seems that you want to see more, even if it is technically competition for you, yeah?
No, I see it as growth. I see it as improvement. You cannot be selfish. You got to share. So I think it's great. You know, I have heard of what they're planning to do, a coffee shop, a place where people can get Hispanic roots, and I think it will be good for the older people, too, that live in the Clinton area. But, no, I think it's great. I think competition is good. And I always looked at it like there's always for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And... we just keep doing what we're doing, and if we can get better at it, we do that. But it's great to share, and it's great to see the area grow. I'm forever be grateful to Rochester, and when I see that, you know, it makes me happy when I hear that. Yeah.
You're hearing Zuri Brown, who is the owner of El Pilon Criollo, which is El Pilon is. 973 North Clinton Avenue, and Alejandro Brown is here, Zuri's daughter. Norma Holland is here, and we're talking about not only the success of El Pilon, but this wonderful flavor. And if you haven't been to El Pilon, Rob, I think, is going back for lunch again today. So Rob's already addicted. Norma Holland, when we're not going to El Pilon, though, let's talk about some other things that are happening that has a... you know, that excites you in this arena. What else is out there?
Well, there's so many new restaurants that I haven't even tried because my schedule is kind of difficult. You know my
is
schedule.
That right?
Yes, I don't get out very much. And, you know, I have a little girl now, so I spend a lot of time with her. But and in most of my Latin food that I eat is at Lucy Holland's house. and, you know, truth be told, because Zuri, I know your food is good, but I can't talk about it too much because mommy's listening. And if she listens and hear me say something about your food is better than hers, she might be upset. but you know what I mean? It was I go home. I go home and I beg, mommy, please make me some rice and beans or whatever. But there's, of the restaurants out there, gosh, Evan, there's so many. Like, I got to get out there more and try them. I love food of all different kinds. I love ethnic food. You know what I mean? I love Thai food and Indian food. And there's just such a great scene out there right now. So many more offerings than we ever had in Rochester before, you know?
Yeah. Zuri, Alejandro, people who work in the food business often rarely, they seem rarely to to get out as much as they want to sure. other places.
Yeah, you're always in the kitchen,
always
right?
in the kitchen. But what about you, Alejandra? If you're going to go out, then you're not going to El Pilon. Where do you want to eat?
You know, it's tough because, you know, I eat there a lot and I love the food. And then once I kind of leave there, I'm like looking for something a little different.
Yeah.
But I love 809 Sports Bar and Grill. They have these chicharrones de pollo that are literally to die for. I love going there. And other than that, I really, really just kind of eat. I get my fill at work and then I kind of am looking for something like a little different when I get out.
Okay. And Zuri?
Well, we have tried different places.
Yeah, we always go and try.
There's, sometimes I try the competition too.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's good. You gotta know.
Yeah.
Whenever a new spot opens up, we're like, we should go get lunch.
You know, the thing is, though, like, your rice and beans has your flavor to it. Mm-hmm. If you were to come to my mother's house, it would have a different flavor. It would still be rice and beans, but there's a different flavor to it. There's like a different variation on Latin food from all different places. So, you know, it's almost like what you just get used to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just, and then when you go to someone else's, when you taste their rice and beans, you're like, does that taste like mine?
What about yours at your house?
Oh, well, I have to say, this is embarrassing. I'm going to totally embarrass myself right now. My rice and beans is nothing like my mother's. It will never be as good.
I feel like it never can
Mommy's is the best rice and beans ever. The only person who can make rice and beans close to my mother's is my husband.
Whoa!
He's not even Latino.
Wow.
And it is embarrassing for me to say to my mother, Mommy, Matt made rice, and she'll say, oh, okay, she'll eat his rice. If I make it, she could be a side eye like.
She's full. Yeah, if you make it, she's
exactly.
full.
Exactly. Oh, no, I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't eat another bite, you know, but my husband, okay. His is more like hers than anyone else's I've ever tasted.
So if you say, come over, and she says, who's cooking? And you said Matt. And she says, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Which means she's not coming.
Which means, no, she's not eating your food. Isn't that terrible? I'm so embarrassed to admit that.
Lucy, we just called you out, by the way. We know what we'll see what happens means.
Yeah.
When you're not coming.
That, we'll see what happens means no.
Means I don't want to tell you no.
Right.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Tom says, this program is inspirational, warm, and delicious. Thank you. Steven says, can't wait to go to El Pilon. My wife has celiac disease, no gluten. What sort of things might she be able to have?
Rice,
yeah.
Beans. And usually we have customers that have different type of dietary needs, accommodations. So in the kitchen, there's no flour.
Yeah, that's
cross,
true.
You know, with the rice and the beans. And then when we have people coming in that don't eat any meat, you know, rice and beans doesn't have any meat on it. So we always cook and we always know when somebody comes with a different need for accommodation, we can do that.
Latin food is great like that because, and you know, and Zuri said a real important thing at the beginning of this broadcast. She said when you used to cook at home, you'd cook from the land. Mm-hmm. So think about it. There's root vegetables and in the pigeon peas that you pick off the pigeon pea bush, the gandules and all those things. That's from the, that's like, you don't get that at the grocery store.
Yeah.
That's food that you would grow and use yourself and cook with.
Yeah.
So it's healthy food. It can be really, really healthy for you.
Yeah. So we don't have any, like, we don't use any processed food. Everything is made there daily.
Mm-hmm. Where can you find or where do you get plantain and yuca from?
We have a vendor that comes in and bring the stuff from New York. And if for some reason he doesn't have enough or something happened, we can always go local. Price Right, Tops. But because we buy in such a big quantities, they sometimes cannot accommodate us.
If you're just joining us, Zuri started setting up a food stand cooking at the Puerto Rican Festival in 1992 and eventually launched El Pilon, the current iteration, that beautiful building at 973 North Clinton Avenue, opened in 2013. How much has the menu changed, if at all, in the last 4 years since you opened there? Do you ever change it? Do you ever add to it? Do you play with the recipes at all anymore?
We always have the basics, you know, like the rice and the beans and the pork and the chicken. And then we try to switch it around every day. Like sometimes we have ribs, and other days we have pig feet, and other days we have fried seafood, fish. And on Saturdays, we have
seafood salad.
Mm-hmm. So we switch it around so people don't get bored. But it's basically always, the basic is that the rice, the beans, the chicken, and the pork.
That's what we ate all, when I was growing up, that's what we used to eat all the time. I'm going to tell people, like, and it's funny because when I got to high school and college, people would say, you eat beans? Oh, gosh, I can't eat beans. They're terrible. They make my stomach. I'm like, really? I must have had intestines of steel because I never got sick. We never had allergies. It was like, you know, the food was good and good for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never got sick or anything. It was great. It was good for you, you know.
And then we have our specials, too. On Saturday, we have the mofongo and the seafood salad, which is kind of our Saturday special. And then on the daily, we'll kind of, like, plan out something different that we can throw. Like, if we have some chicken to fry, we'll fry some chicken. We have our fried pork that's made to order. Or sometimes if we'll throw, like, a tray up into the front and we'll have that. And then also, if we have the sweet plantains, we'll fry a couple of those and throw those in. Those are my favorite.
Those are so good with eggs. My mother used to make fried sweet plantains with eggs. It was a delicacy. Do you make pasteles around Christmas time as well?
Yeah.
Which is another delicacy that is time-consuming, but it's a fantastic dish. You got to try it.
What's the description of it?
Pasteles are they're made with a ground-up root vegetables, including green bananas and
they
grind it all up. And we used to use a box grater as a kid, and we'd sit there and guayar, we would grate it, and it makes this thick paste, and you smooth it out onto a banana leaf, or in the United States, if you can have banana leaf, you use a parchment, and you'd smooth it out, right? And then you would put the roast pork and the beans in the middle, right, with the sauce, and then you'd wrap it up and make these little packets, like these little presents, and then you tie them up with string, and you boil them in water. You do that once a year every Christmas because it's so time-consuming, and it was a delicacy.
Yeah. And we also offer in our menu sandwiches. It's like we have the pork sandwich, the Cuban.
Yeah.
Our specialty is a pilonazo, which is half a pound of pork, lettuce, onions, tomatoes, and we make a special sauce for that, and we also put in there the what is it, those potatoes?
Yeah, they're potato chips, but they're in like
string
form.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
They're like little crunchy potato sticks.
Mm-hmm. It's called, what is it called? Pilonazo?
Pilonazo. It's the specialty, yeah. Nice. And then we also make the ham, egg, and cheese sandwiches. Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty popular in the morning.
For
we'll
breakfast.
Get a ton of those.
And then also we have the fried, you know, patties, beef and cheese.
Pizza chicken.
Sound like you got it covered.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go here, Zuri, what is the future of El Pilon and the future for you? Do you feel like what you're doing now is exactly what you want? Do you have any other ideas for what you want to do?
I think that what I'm doing now is what I wanted to do.
That's great.
There's a lot of people that come over and say, when are you opening another one and all that kind of stuff. But I have Alejandra here, and she's gonna take the baton, and she says she's gonna take it to the next level.
So hey. there's gonna be Los Pilones around here, or no, something else?
We'll see what we have in store here. I have a lot of ideas that I'm you know are in the works, and that I'm ready to really bring to play.
Break a little news, Alejandra. No? Not yet.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself here.
Delivery? What's this?
So I tell Alejandra, I say, well, you know, I can work for you. You know, I can do your, I can do your paperwork. I can do your...
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
And what did you bring to the studio?
I can't wait.
We're not allowed to have anything in the studio.
Oh,
so hypothetically, if we had something in the studio,
if there was,
what would it be? What would it be?
I brought in so many patties, and they are beef and cheese, and
empanadilla.
Pizza.
Empanadillas.
Ay, Dios, qué bueno.
Empanadilla.
For you guys
Ay,
to
Dios
try. Man. Yeah.
Gracias. Yeah. Tengo un hambre.
¿Estás lista?
Those are like a great Estoy snack. Lista. Like, let's say you order something like that's going to take a little minute because, you know, often our specialties are made to order, like our green plantains. If you want totones, they're going to take like not even 10 minutes.
That's
but,
fine. I'll wait.
So you can get a couple of empanadas while you're waiting and have a drink.
Tell them about mayo ketchup for people. You dip your tostones, your fried bananas, into
mayo ketchup.
Yeah,
it's
which
like
is like
changing.
It's like a special dipping sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so good.
It's ketchup.
What is that? Mayo ketchup? What?
Mayo ketchup is ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah, but garlic as well. You put sometimes a little garlic in there, a little other white.
Mm-hmm. A little pepper.
We mix ours up a little bit.
Wait. Did you have that yesterday, Rob?
Yeah, we had that yesterday.
And?
Was awesome.
Yeah.
We dipped the plantains in it. It was amazing.
Very good.
People are tweeting saying, I'm so hungry right now.
973 if you need to get thee to El Pilon at North Clinton Avenue. And that's it, Zuri. Was it so bad?
It was fun,
was
wasn't
it? Okay?
Yeah, I was kind of nervous at the beginning.
Well,
so.
I'm glad you came. And this city, this community is so glad that you have been doing what you've done at El Pilon in La Avenida. Thank you for what you do. Congratulations on your success, and we will see you there.
Thank you for having us.
I'm going to stop by. And, Mommy, please don't be threatened. I will come over to the house later. Just let me try it. Come on, Mom. No, I got to try El Pilon Criollo.
Lucy would be happy to have
this,
right?
She would be, and she would love to come visit.
She can't cook every night, can
she? No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Mommy gets tired, too, sometimes.
Don't we all?
Yeah, right?
It's great to have you here.
Congratulations, Zuri.
Norma Holland, nice to see you as well.
Good to see you, my friend. I missed you. This is fun.
We always miss you. This was great fun. And Rob and Megan helping carry the program. Thanks, guys, for popping in on the microphone, too.
I'm going to go lunch with you guys. Can I hang with you guys?
Well, I think Rob's going to El Pilon now. You might see him there. Have a great afternoon. The summer of food has been wonderfully fun here on Connections. Thank you to everyone at El Pilon. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you Friday on Member Supported Public Radio.